Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. Hey, we are in part five, the tail end of our series called What's the Wise Thing, or the question, and we're asking the question, what's the wise thing to do? And you guys have been using this question, you guys have been giving me feedback about this question, you guys have loved this question, it's a better question. And we talked about the long version of this question, part of this question that gives even more clarity is this: in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? Because my past has taught me some things, some places I shouldn't be, some invitations I shouldn't take, some things I shouldn't drink. My past has taught me that. And in light of my current circumstances, because of where I am, because we just got married, because we're in debt, because we just had a kid, because we just had two kids, because our kid's about to go off to college, because I just got laid off from my job. My current circumstances are telling me, maybe it's different than yours, what's the wise thing to do? And in light of my future hopes and dreams, because my future hopes and dreams aren't like anybody else's future hopes and dreams, I'm asking myself the question, what's the wise thing to do? And this is a great question. Better than is it right? Better than is it wrong? Because it brings perfect clarity to the situation. And you know, clarity is one of those things that we don't really get until later on, right? I mean, have you ever moved on in your life to move on down the road, and then you look back on a regret and you thought, man, what went wrong there? And you have so much clarity about it later on. But you look back on that regret, you look back at that mistake, you look back on that failure. And can we just be honest, we've all had them, you know? We all have regrets. I kind of twinge when people said like, oh, I got no regrets, you know, no regrets. I got none of them. But the truth is, I mean, those same people, I think we can all agree on the philosophy, nobody's perfect, right? And I agree with you on that because I believe what Jesus said, that everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the thing, if everybody's messed up at some point in their life, if nobody's perfect, then we all got regrets. We can all look back on a situation and go, I wish that would have gone differently. I wish I would have said that differently. I wish I would have stayed. I wish I would have gone. But it's amazing how down the road you can look back at those regrets that we all have. And you kind of say the same thing yourself. Like you look back and you go, what was I thinking? How did I get there? I mean, we ask ourselves this question, right? I should have seen it coming. I should have seen it coming. I mean, I look back on that now and it was just so stupid for me to do that. I can't believe I spent that money. I can't believe I bought that. I can't believe I went there. I can't believe I was with him. I can't believe I was with her. I should have seen it coming. I should have seen it coming. I should have seen it coming. And we play that over and over and over again. And now we can look back and we can see it coming because time has passed and because things have moved on and things have changed. But we look back and I should have seen it coming. And you know what's interesting? Here's maybe what you did know or didn't know, but here's the truth. Someone else saw the thing you didn't see coming. Isn't that the truth? We tell ourselves all the time, I should have seen it coming. But the truth is that someone saw it coming. Oh, yeah. Lots of people actually saw it coming. Your parents saw it coming. Your friends saw it coming. Your sister, your brother, they saw it coming. Let me tell you something. As your pastor, I always see it coming. Like, I can read your Facebook right now, and I can tell you probably what's going to happen 2 months from now. I mean, we can just kind of see it coming. You know, the waitress at the restaurant, just in the four times she stopped to refill your water and the little 10-second blurb she heard you guys talking about, she saw it coming. I mean, everybody sees it coming. There's a lot of people that saw coming what you couldn't see. And now you look back and you go, man, what in the world happened there? And we know it's true because we do it all the time to one another, right? I mean, how many times do you see somebody else going through something and you see tragedy coming up in their life and you just want to stop them and you want to go, oh, you need to do something. You need to get out of that. You need to quit that. You need to change that because you see it coming right away. I mean, how many times is it that you had a friend who thought they had Mr. Right, or they had Mrs. Right, and you were like, oh, no, that's Mr. Wrong. That's Mrs. Wrong. I'm telling you, they're like, oh, no, it's the love of my life. He's going to change. She's going to change. No, she's great. You don't know. And you go, no, I do. I really do. And they're not the right person for you. And I'm telling you, oh, if you marry this person, it's going to end in divorce. Oh, if you marry this person, it's going to go wrong. Oh, if you stay with this person, they're going to treat you so wrong. They're going to end up heartbroken. And you know, you see it coming, but they can't see it coming. Or how many times are we in the checkout line, you know, at the grocery store, and this poor parent, this mom or this dad, they're putting things on there, and that kid, he grabs that Snickers bar, and he tries to sneak it up there, you know, and the mom or the dad, they say, no, you can't have that, and the kid just, you know, and throws a fit. That was dramatic, and it hurt my knees. That wasn't planned. Anyway, and they, you know, they just throw a fit, and they throw themselves in the floor, and they just have this spat, and then what does the mom do? Oh, okay. And they put the Snickers back on the checkout line, and you're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You can't give in to that child. You do that, they're going to be living with you till they're 25. Don't do that. You can't do it. And you just know what they need to do, and you look at other people, how they parent their children, the decisions they make, and the financial decisions they make, and the relationship decisions they make, and you know what they should do because you see what's coming. And you know the troubles that are up ahead, but they can't see it. I mean, it's just like they're in a totally different world. It's like they got a different pair of goggles on or something. They just can't see it coming. They don't know what you're talking about, right? What is that? Why is that? Why is it that they couldn't see it coming, but you could? And vice versa, switch it around. Why is it that everyone else could see it coming, but I couldn't? You know what I'm talking about in life when you go through that? How you can see things that other people can't, and they can see things in your life that you can't. What is that? Here's the thing. The reason is this, is because emotionally charged environments are not ideal for wise decision-making, and almost all decision-making environments are emotionally charged, right? It's because when you're emotionally charged up, when your appetite is enticed, it is really difficult to do the wise thing. And the truth is that most every decision-making environment is emotionally charged. And your appetite, it is enticed. And it gets really, really hard because when my emotions are charged and my appetites are enticed, impulse becomes my default. When I'm going through that, and I'm going through the motions, and I'm in the heat of it, and it's in front of me, and man, that money in my wallet is burning, and the emotions, and the hormones, or whatever else I'm going through, man, it's firing on all cylinders. What usually happens is impulse becomes my default. And that is a dangerous place to live. And it's for that very reason why, you know what? I could do a way better job managing your money than you can do it managing your money. Because you can watch those commercials about the new iPhone upgrade that's available. And you can watch the new commercials about the newest truck or the newest car that just dropped. And you can look at the ads for all the vacations in the Bahamas on the beach and the blah, blah, blah. And oh, man, you're like, oh, man, oh, it would be nice to have. I think I can swing it. I think I can do it. I think I can upgrade. I think we can afford it. I think we should go on that trip. And if I was managing your money, I would go, no, no, you're in debt. You have nothing hardly in your savings. Based on your current future hopes and dreams, this would not be the wise thing for you to do. You do not need a new iPhone. You have a fine working phone in your pocket right now. You don't need a new car. You have a fine working car right now. You don't need to go on a trip that's $5,000. You know what? You could go to Branson for 4 days. And I mean, it's not going to be the same, but that's where you're at right now, based on your current circumstances, based on your past experiences. You know what? That's the wise thing for you to do. I would do a way better job at managing your money than you could. You know why? Because I'm not emotionally invested in your life. Because my appetites aren't enticed. I could look at your finances and I could run the numbers. And it would be very easy for me to decide what the wise thing to do is. You know what? If you ever do this, I'm going to give you a Just a spoiler alert, if you ever do marriage counseling with me, it's really, really short. I mean, because like in 30 minutes, I can tell you what the problem is, all right? It's one of three things or a combination. Somebody's been selfish, somebody has broken trust, and somebody's just been an idiot. And so really quick, you know, like I can just tell people like, well, here's what you need to do, because it's really easy. Because when you're outside of it, when you're not emotionally invested and charged up, it's easy for you to fix it. Now, I wish somebody could tell me how to fix the marriage problems I'd had for the last 10 years, because, I mean, as smart as I am, I still can't figure them out. But that's how it goes, right? Why? Because those are my marriage problems, because there's things in my relationship, because I'm emotionally charged in what I'm going through, and that's the thing, is parenting is emotional. Finances are emotional. Health is emotional. Spirituality, relationship with God is emotional. Marriage is emotional. And it is hard for us to decide what the wise thing to do is, because emotions make what's obvious less obvious. Emotions make what's obvious less obvious. And so it's hard for us to ask what the wise thing to do is. So here's the question we have to start to ask. What is the wise thing to do when our emotions are charged and our appetites are inflamed? What do I need to do? What's the wise decision for me to make? Because I am my own worst enemy so often. So often when my emotions are charged and my appetites are enticed, I don't do the obvious thing. And so the answer is this. Listen. I have to listen. I have to be able to listen to others, because there are wise people all around me. Wise people know when they are in no condition to decide for themselves by themselves. Wise people know that I need a person or two to tell me what to do. There's your Dr. Seuss for the day. Wise people know that when I need a person or two to tell me what to do, I need to seek counsel. I need to seek advice. You know what I need to do right now? Because my emotions are charged up. My appetite has been enticed. I see that thing and I really, really want it. I'm with this girl. I'm with this guy and I am not thinking clearly. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm lonely. I'm depressed. And so right now I am not in the right state to answer for myself. What's the wise thing to do? And so I need to seek advice, and I need to seek counsel, and I need to go to somebody else, and I need to listen to somebody, because somebody else can see what I can't see. Somebody else can see what I'm unable to see in the moment right now. So I need somebody else. If you don't believe me, if you don't think that this is wise advice, you'd be surprised that the wisest person who ever lived, King Solomon, this was his advice. King Solomon, who we talk about a whole lot, because he asked for wisdom. That was the gift that God granted him when he asked for it, when he became the third king of Israel. And the wisest man who ever lived, one of the best pieces of advice that he had was to listen to other people. When he wrote these three books of wisdom that we have in our Old Testament, we have Song of Songs, we have Ecclesiastes, and when we have Proverbs, there's enough Proverbs where you could read a proverb every day for about 30 days if you wanted to do a great devotional that would be full of wisdom. But he writes these books of wisdom, and in the book of Proverbs, as he gives us his wisdom, he talks about asking for advice. He talks about seeking counsel and wisdom for other people and listening to it in order to know what the wise thing to do is. So in Proverbs, he says stuff like this. In Proverbs 9:9, he says, "Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning." Wise people know that they don't always know. And wise people listen. Wise people take this position of learner, and they listen to instructions. They open themselves up for teaching. And they take the position of a learner. And they take what they hear, and they take the advice that they're given, and they add it to their collection of wisdom. That's what wise people do. And then Solomon says this in Proverbs 19:20. He says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise." Listen to advice and accept discipline. You know, I think it's kind of a a common trend for us today in this culture. Nobody likes to accept discipline. Nobody likes to be told that they need to work on something. Nobody likes to be told, hey, you shouldn't do that. This week, it was Taco Tuesday at my house. Tuesdays was taco night. And I'm currently preparing for my first Olympic weightlifting event. I've never done this before. I've done CrossFit for years, but there is a weightlifting competition and the very first weekend in November, and so I'm going to go to it. And so this is very, very different than anything I've ever done. And one of the big things is I have to wear a singlet, also known as a leotard. Like, I'm going to look like a skin-tight professional wrestler, and it's going to, like, come here, right? And so, you know, so I'm watching what I eat so I can perform well, but also I'm going to feel naked in front of people, okay? And so if I have to wear a leotard in front of people, by the way, nobody come cheer me on. Nobody wants to see their pastor in a leotard. It's not going to be appropriate. And so anyway, I'm getting ready for this event. And so I am watching what I eat. So it was Taco Tuesday. And I love Taco Tuesday. And I mean, I have been like kind of starving myself some days. And I've been fasting and everything else. And so Taco Tuesday, I was so hungry. And so I got the tacos and I made two tacos. And I mean, I'm putting pico on it. I'm putting, you know, guac on it. I got the meat. I got the sauce. I got the cheese. I got two big old filled tacos. And then we had chips. And so I'm like, oh, these chips need to be nachos. That's what they need to be. So I throw some cheese on it, some pico on it, some meat on it. So I sit down at the table with my two tacos and my little cup of nachos. And my wife looks at me and she goes, that's too much food for you. And you heard that's too much food for you. What I heard was, hey there, fatty. Okay, that's what I heard when she said that. And so I shot her a look, like, excuse me, you know, what did you just say to me? You know, I was not very happy. And so I shot her a look, and then you know what I did? I ate it all in spite of her. Yeah, every nacho, I just looked at her in the eye, and I was like, you know, and Braden was like, daddy crazy. And I'm like, yeah, daddy real crazy. Mommy hit a button is what she did. You know what I mean? But I was not happy about that. I was not excited about her telling me that. Like, who are you? Who do you think you are? You know, I came home from work and I made dinner for us all, and you're going to sit there and you're going to judge me on how much meat I eat. You know, leave me alone. And so that's what happened in the Davis household. Again, if any of you want to do marriage counseling with me, you could probably tell me what was wrong. But I mean, we're all like that, right? I mean, the wise, they listen to advice and accept discipline. And here's the thing, I'll admit this. My wife was right. I did not feel good afterwards. That was way too much meat, and I had nervous sweats all day. I also had the chili cook-off. I mean, it was not well. And it was too much meat. I should have listened to her. And I told her later, I said, you were right. I shouldn't have eaten that much meat. You know, you're right. Thank you for helping me out, because I know you just love me, and you just want to see me look good in that leotard, you know. And so, but I mean, the wise listen to advice, but we don't all do that, do we? We hate to accept discipline. We hate to be told, hey, maybe you shouldn't drink that. Hey, maybe you shouldn't eat that. Hey, maybe you shouldn't go there. Hey, maybe you shouldn't be with them. Oh, don't you judge me. Don't you, you know, the person without sin, throw the first stone or something. That's what the Bible says, you know. That's what we do. That's how we use those scripture verses, you know. No one's going to judge me. No one's going to tell me what to do. But here's the thing, is that a lot of the times that person is sharing wisdom with us because they love us. That person sees trouble coming that we can't see. That person is trying to save us a world of hurt and regret and brokenness. And the thing is that when we just don't listen to it, that advice, or we just keep doing it anyway in spite of them, here's what Solomon says. Solomon would call you what? Solomon would call you a fool, right? And that's what he says in this next verse in Proverbs 12. He says, the way of the fool seems right to them. The way of the fool seems right to them, right? When you were foolish, look back to your worst regret, your biggest mistake. You thought you were right. You thought you were handling the situation well. You thought that email was very well written. You thought that that response was legitimate and totally normal, and that was an okay thing to say. And you didn't see anything wrong with how you parented your kid. You didn't see anything wrong with what you told that teacher. You didn't see anything wrong with what you told that cop. You thought it was fine. But here's the thing, the fool, they always think they're right. But the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once. Fools get mad in an instant. They immediately show their annoyance. But the prudent overlook an insult. You know something I've learned about myself? And you tell me if this is true about you. If something touches a nerve, then there's probably some truth in there to what they just said. Right? I mean, if somebody says something to you, and it touches a nerve, and it gets you a little angry, and it goes, ooh, you know, makes you kind of get charged up, maybe wise, because you know they're a little bit true. There's a little bit truth to that. Maybe because that's something you know you struggle with, and maybe something that maybe gets you a little charged up, and you know there's some truth to it, and you're just, oh, you know, it makes you so mad. I mean, when somebody says something that just absolutely isn't true, it really doesn't do anything to you, right? Kind of funny, this week I did a video in here about our chili cook-off that was live, and we have a lot of people who like us and follow us on Facebook, and somebody wrote in the comment section, I would never, I guess he saw in the background the electric guitar, and he's like, I would never come to your church because you guys, you know, you got that guitar up there, so it's obvious that you're all playing satanic music in your worship band, and you're just leading everybody to hell, so forget that church, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh boy. You know, and it's like, I read that and I laughed. You know, usually if somebody kind of does something like that, that pokes at somebody else, I'll delete the comment or something. But I left it because I thought it was funny. And I mean, it didn't bother me because, I mean, our band, didn't they do a great job this morning? I had goosebumps. Woo. Man, the three amigos, ha, 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 huh. You know, I mean, they did a great job. And so, you know, I mean, that if that was satanic, then I'm going to hell because, I mean, I loved that. That was great. But I don't think there was anything satanic about that. But I left the comment because it doesn't bother me because I know it's not true. If it's not true, it just tends to brush off your shoulder. But the thing is, if it touches a nerve, maybe it's because there's a little bit of truth. And when we're fools, we do think that we are right and we are not willing to budge. And we show our annoyances at once. But the wise, they listen. The wise, they are up for listening to advice. And Solomon says that is one of the keys to success. In Proverbs 11:14, he says this. He says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Here's something that you need to know if you don't know. Life is a team sport. You were never created to go through this independently. You were never meant to do this alone. Life is a team sport, and that is what the church is all about, is we are a community of believers, a community of faith, gathering together, cheering one another on, helping one another, lifting one another up, because we know we need each other. Us parents, we all need each other's help and advice. Us fathers, we all need each other's advice. Mothers, we all need each other's advice and encouragement. Spouses, married couples, single parents. We all need one another. We can't do this by ourselves. None of us are equipped to handle life alone. So, with all that said, okay, let's admit something. This is not that good of a sermon. Okay, I'll admit that. Let's just all say it. We are all thinking it. This is not that good of a sermon because this is something that is not rocket science, right? I mean, what did I just tell you? You know how you can be more wise? Ask for advice. Wow. Thought-provoking. Amazing, right? We all know this to be true. If you don't know, you should ask. And even if you do think you know, you should ask. You should ask around. You should get some advice from people. That would be a good idea to do. But here's the thing. As simple as what I just said was, how often do we not do it? How often do we still make the decision on our own? How often do we ignore the advice of others? What is that? What is that that makes you do that? What do you think that is that makes you ignore people's advice, that makes you shut people down, that makes you think they don't know what they're talking about? You know what it is? It's called pride. It's pride. And pride is the downfall of a lot of us. Pride is something in our lives that convinces us that we're right and everybody else is wrong. And you know what's so interesting about pride is pride is actually the thing that became the downfall of Solomon. You know, as much as we talk about Solomon and we read, you know, from the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and, you know, we're going to do a series later on the Song of Psalms and we talk about him being the wisest man that ever lived. You know, if you actually want to know what happened to Solomon and where being so wise took him, you should go read the book of 1 Kings in your Old Testament. Because if you read it, Solomon, like his father David, started out as a hero, but he eventually became a villain. Because as wise as he was, I mean, people would come all across the country and the world to seek advice from Solomon because he was so wise. And there was a point in time in Jewish history where Israel was the strongest kingdom that had ever been. I mean, it was the closest to having a Christian nation that we'll probably ever have. Their economy was perfect. Their military was unbeatable. It was a great place to live. I mean, it was just an oasis for people who followed God. But you know what was interesting is that the wisest man who ever lived stopped taking his own advice. And he eventually stopped seeking the counsel and advice of others. And then he went outside of God's will. And then many prophets and priests and God himself came and warned Solomon that he was headed for trouble, that he was headed for a downfall. And you know what he did? He shunned their advice away and he kept doing what he wanted to do. And eventually Israel fell. And eventually Solomon became the villain instead of the hero. And the people of Israel, the Jewish people, ended up in slavery again. Their economy fell. Their military was beaten. And people were left in exile for years and years and years until Jesus came thousands of years later. I mean, think about that for a minute. The wisest man who ever lived didn't even listen to his own advice. And he stopped taking advice from other people. Why is that? Because of pride. Because pride tells us that we don't need anyone's help. Pride tells us again and again, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. Pride tells us, man, I don't need anybody's help. I'm a grown man. I'm 17, right? And then pride tells us again at 25, I don't need anybody's help. I'm 25 years old. And then pride, you know, tells us later on when we're in our 60s, I'm not going to listen to that 31-year-old pastor. He's only lived half as long as I have. What does he know? He doesn't know what he's talking about. I know what you say. What is that? That's pride. That's what that is. That's pride inside of you that tells you that. And we all do it, you know. We all do it. I mean, how many of us, you know, how many of us, that first child, you went to the birthing classes, right? You went for like 6 weeks on how to take care of a kid, you know, make sure you didn't like, you know, hurt the baby or anything like that, right? You did class and stuff. Now, how many of us went, when we had the second kid, did we go back to those classes? None of us, right? Because you said, well, the first one didn't die. The second one will be fine, you know? That's what we all do. The first one, we were like, we got to go to the classes. We can't miss a class. We got to go to the classes, right? And the second one, you're like, I got this. You know, that's the thing. I'm so good at this now, you know? And that's the same thing that happened to Solomon. Because here's the thing is when you are as successful at anything, you don't think you need advice on most things. Isn't that the truth? Is that when you get a little bit of success, oh, the first kid was fine, so the second, third, and fourth, they're going to be great because I am good at this parenting thing. I mean, somebody give me a job review already. Or if you experience just a little bit of success in finances, I mean, you just think that, you know, you are the next money management king. I mean, you just think that you got this all together. Or if you are good at your job, or if you win a couple games, or if you get a stunning review, you just are strutting your stuff, and you just think that you are the wisest thing that touched the earth, and you don't think you need advice on most anything because you're a successful person, because look at all the things you've accomplished in your life. And that's the sneaky thing about pride, is pride sneaks through our success and he finds something we're good at and he tells us, you know what, you have figured it out at work, you can figure it out in your marriage, you have figured it out with one kid, you can figure it out with the third kid, you don't need anybody's help, you can figure this out on your own, so don't talk to anybody, don't ask anybody, don't seek any advice, you don't need any books, you guys don't need to see a counselor, you've already had 10 good years of marriage. You can get through this yourself. You don't need anyone's help. That's exactly what pride tells us. And it becomes our default. And it ends up being our destruction. It ends up being our downfall. So many times we let pride slip in and it hurts us. Men, this is our biggest battle, right? Again, I can't talk to the women because I'm not a woman, all right? Can try to self-identify with one, but it won't matter. That was a joke. I inserted a cultural joke into the sermon. I'm a guy. I know how it is, right? Men, what's the deal? I mean, we hate it. I mean, we don't like to be told what to do. Wives, you need to understand this about your man right now. Your men do not like to be told that they need help on anything. It is why it is so hard to get a man to go to church with you. It is so hard to get a man to go to counseling with you. It is why it is so hard to get your husband to go see a stinking doctor. It's because we don't like anybody to tell us what we need to do differently. But men, can I speak to you directly, man to man, right now? Look, this is not our kids' playset on Christmas morning, all right? We can't do this without directions. We can figure that other stuff out with directions. We can put the puzzles together without directions. We can put the Lego sets together without directions. But the thing is that when it comes to our marriages, when it comes to being a father, when it comes to being a man of the house and a man of God, you cannot do this without some direction and some advice from other people. All the women said amen. No, that was two. You guys don't be afraid in here. They're not going to do anything to you. I'll protect you. Pride does that, though. Pride does that to us. And the thing is that we have to go back to a position of humility. You remember in January we talked about this? A little sermon series that we did? And what was the advice I gave you? The position that we all need to take is this. I don't know everything about anything. That advice of humility, that position of humility that says, you know what, I may be successful, I may be a good husband, I may be okay at what I do, I may be getting a lot of awards and applause and cheers, but the thing is that there was never a time in my life where I knew everything about anything. And if we just took this sermon and added on to that position of humility and added on to this, what if we said it this way? I don't know everything about anything. And it's not going to be on the screen again. I don't know everything about anything, and that's why I seek wisdom on just about everything. Because I need advice, and I need counsel, and I need people who are not emotionally charged in what I'm going through. I need people whose appetites are not enticed, and I need help. Because I don't know everything about anything. And no matter how many experiences I have, no matter how old I get, no matter how much success I may achieve in this life, if even Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, had a dethrone and a default of a failure because he did not seek advice from other people, then you know what? The wise thing for me to do would probably be to listen to some other wise people in my life. Because even Solomon himself said in Proverbs 13:10, he said this, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. If there's any strife in your life, I'm willing to bet that there's some pride. So, here's what we need to do. Asking for wisdom is not a reflection of your lack of wisdom. It is evidence that you are wise. Wise people seek advice. Wise people seek direction. Wise people surround themselves with wise people who are not a group of yes men that tell them that they are right, who tell them that they are always good, to tell them that they are always legitimate, that tell them that they never did the wrong thing. Wise people surround themselves with people who ask questions. Wise people who surround themselves with people who tell them the truth. Because I am taking the godly position of I don't know everything about anything. And I need your help. Imagine if we all took that position, how much stronger our marriages would be. Imagine if we all took that position, how much wiser we would be with our finances. Imagine if we took that position, how much wiser we would be with our kids. Imagine if we took that position, how much wiser we would be at our jobs and our decision-making and our purchases. Imagine how much wiser we could be. Let me pray for you this morning. God, as we come to you today, I thank you for this question again. And God, as we come to the tail end of the series, as we finish it up next week, God, I just pray that this morning as we look at our lives, that you would tell us exactly where it is that we're not always being wise. God, there's probably an area of our life today where we are emotionally charged, where our appetites have been enticed. And you know what? It's so true that so many times I look back on regrets I've had in my life, and I can see clearly now, but I couldn't back then. And right now, I'm back in some of those situations where I can't see clearly, and I don't know what the wise thing to do is. And I know I'm about to make some poor decisions because of just who I am and my emotions and my temptations. And so God, this morning, I just pray that you would help me to seek advice. God, would you help me to seek advice from somebody who can see what I can't see? Would you help me to seek advice and listen to somebody else who has wisdom in their life? Somebody else about their marriage? Somebody else about parenting my kids? Would you help me to be open? And God, if they say something that I don't agree with, if they say something that touches a nerve, God, would you help me to not immediately default back to my way of life? Would you help me to not be an immovable object? Would you help me to not be a fool? But God, would you help me to be wise? Would you help me to listen? Would you help me to take what they're saying and add it to my learning? Would you help me to at least listen with humility? Because God, I know this morning, and I believe I don't know everything about anything. And so God, I am taking the position of learner. I am taking the position of student. And I'm open to your voice, and I'm open to the voice of the wise people you have put around me. And so, God, I thank you for allowing me to be part of this community. I thank you for the church. I thank you for those people, those leaders around me who are trying to speak wisdom into life. I thank you for my parents who have tried to tell me again and again and again what the wise thing to do is. And, God, I just pray that I will always listen, that I will never make the same mistake that Solomon made and shut people off and think that I know everything about everything. God, that's our prayer this morning, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.